Any testimonies? Reports?
Well, yeah, I mean, anyway, we just really blessed on the whole trip.
It's okay.
We were just really blessed on the whole trip. And one of the things that was really a blessing, we had, you know, Justin Eric and Redwood Forest are bust on the car. And lots of people, you know, every time we stopped someplace, they would say, you're going to the Redwood Forest, I see, you know, and all that kind of stuff. You've been there yet. They start talking about with all the good places to stay and to see and everything. And that was a blessing. And on the way home, we stopped at to get gas in Wyoming, in Cheyenne. And I went in to pay for the gas, and this guy says, are you the guy that just got married? I said, yeah. He says, give him his money back. I'm going to pay for that gas. Well, we were trying to cut down on the amount of money we're spending, so we're staying at all sorts of places. And God always provided a place for just to park for free in the car and stay there. And so we probably spent about 5 or 6 nights in the car. But that was a real blessing that God always provided a place. It was not too much traffic and all that kind of stuff. What? Oh, yeah. That was cool. We said, well, now there's a ranger coming by the street. And I said, well, I just said, well, this is a great place that ranger's going to call and by us or whatever, not stop or anything. And he did. He was shined his great big spotlight right on us. And either he didn't see us or didn't care. I don't know. But that was a great sign. But that was a great place. So. And then to make up for it, we got some good hotel rooms for day use. So that was great.
Sound like there was more to that story, didn't it? All right. Well, praise the Lord. We said it last Sunday or Sunday before, whatever. We need to start, according to the Word, expecting the blessings to overtake us in some form or another. You know, even to the point of 40 camel loads that would sustain us for the rest of our lives. Amen? You know, now, let's not go there yet. Anyway, I'm being very subtle. That's unusual for me, but we're moving in a direction. If you don't know that, well, we are. You know when somebody's subtle, when you get to a place you didn't know you were going there. That's subtle. I've never been known for that. But maybe we can get a little more plain and open this morning in the Word. We started last week, and by the way, I said what I said on purpose. You need to get the tapes that you've missed from Patrick. Put your name in the pot, and I think there's some lines on that already. So, but I'm going to start where we kind of left off last week with a quick review, and then we'll go on. Last week we talked about a call to His government. Actually, the last couple of weeks. Let me read you Isaiah 9. I hope you've got your Bibles with you. I know you're going to want to back up what I'm going to present to you this morning by the Word that's in your hand. Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on His shoulder. And His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over His kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord will perform this. Not only is this God's Word, He's excited about it. The zeal of the Lord will perform this. We said last week we were called to a high, high, pure form of government. We said that the only thing that holds us back is our excuses. What's our excuses? Anything that takes the place of God. If you tell me you're too busy and you got to work, you ain't lying to me, you're lying to yourself. And you're in rebellion to God's government. If you don't have enough time, time belongs to God. You better talk to Him about that. If you don't have enough money, all money belongs to God. You need to talk to Him about that. Go to the government and ask for what you deserve, what the zeal of the Lord will perform in you. One of the things you need to find out about time is that God will make of it what you make of it. If you give it to Him, He will abound in your life. There will be more time if you will trust Him with your time. If you just take it upon yourself to form your own government, you won't ever have any time. That's the same thing with money and health and all the other things we talked about last week. I call those things false authorities in your lives. In Hosea 4, verse 6, it says, "My people are absolutely destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you've rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being priest for me. Because you've forgotten the law of your God, I will forget your children." And then I took very quickly, I'm just as a quick review, we began at Romans 13. Now, one of the things I'd like to accomplish last week, this week, and forever is for you to understand the difference between false authority and true authority. We read that the only true authority is God. We just read that Jesus was given to us and the government was given to Him. And He's excited about this and wants to perform it in our lives. And if we let any other God before Him, we start serving false government or false authority. And that would include any authority that comes against Jesus. Amen? Last Sunday night, we had a very good, fun example. We were over at, you all know where we were last Sunday, if you were there. If not, guess. And a lady came to the door. False authority written all over her. Anything that comes between you and God, anything that takes, that says, "I'm the authority," and you know they're not, that's false authority. She came up and she said, she knocked on the door. She said, "I want to see some identification. I want to see some identification." Do you know what false authority does? It always demands of you. It puts demands on you, and they are not righteous. And there's no basis. There's no word behind it. There's no law behind it. He said, "No, I think I want to see your identification." "Oh, he can't be a Christian. He's in rebellion." "I have some important Jefferson County papers to serve Victor." "Don't care what you got. I want to see your identification, or you got 10 seconds to get off the property." Ooh, if we could just learn to talk like this as Christians. I couldn't resist. I had to run over. There's a fight on. I got to get in it. I said, "I won't be the witness here." She said, "I think you're Victor." I said, "As a witness, I know he's not Victor. You're wrong." You know what the final authority, the false authority's final statement was? "I think you're Victor. Here's the paper." False authority falsely accuses. False authority doesn't care about your feelings. False authority doesn't even care if they're right. False authority just wants their way. It's you that are the true authority serving the true authority. If you learn true government, you're the true authority. And you can say to false authority, "Get behind me. I don't pay any attention to you. You ain't nobody to me. And you got 10 seconds to get out, or you're going to meet the true authority." Amen? Now, the world does this. The world and the church, they are hand in hands in a lot of places. Romans 13, turn there. I'm going to quickly go through what we went through last Sunday and then continue. Romans 13, verse 1, "Let every soul be subjection to the higher powers." Number one, we find out there's higher powers. You're not the highest power. Everybody got that down? Your opinion is not the final opinion. Your belief of what the Word says has never been the final opinion or the final word. "For there is no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God." There is no authority. This is my word. There is no authority. Listen to me. You can count every policeman. You can count every president. You can count every congressman. There is no authority on this earth unless it's under subjection and obedience to God. There's only false authority. Oh, now we really got deep, didn't we? I didn't even say that strong. That strong last week. I'm going to continue to say it. "Let every soul be subjection to the higher powers, for there's no power but of God." Isn't that plain enough? How come it sounded different when I said it a different way? "Therefore, he that resisteth the power withstandeth the ordinance of God, and they that withstand shall receive to themselves judgment." Who takes care of false authority? The zeal of the Lord. That's what the government's on his shoulders, and his zeal will perform this. So don't you worry about whipping false authority. You let God take care of that. You just be under authority of God. "For rulers are not a terror to the good work, but to the evil. And wouldest thou have no fear of the power? Do that which is good, and that shalt have, thou shalt have praise from the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. Let me tell you how you can, I'll upset your apple cart real fast. Every authority that God places is placed there for your good. And if it's not for your good, God didn't place it there. Okay? If you want to know what's true authority, if it's not for your good, it's not true authority. Remember, the devil never lies. He tells a partial truth. We've got to say it. It's not enough, for I call him a liar all the time. It doesn't seem to affect. So I'm telling you, let's just don't call him a liar. Let's just say that he never tells the truth. He tells a partial truth or a partial lie. Depends on how you like to look at it. That's why there's so much false authority accepted in the church, because many times it comes in the form of light or truth. And I just told you Scripture. Satan comes as a messenger of what? Light. Now we know that he's not. He's all darkness, so he even lies about himself. So he puts on a uniform. He calls himself God. Here I am. You will obey me. And he sends people that does the same thing. Yeah, I'll put on the title of a prophet and I'll tell you how you're supposed to do. I'll put on the title of this or the title of that. Listen, if it's not good for you, it's not of God. Wherefore, let's start here. We covered this one, but let's begin here. Wherefore, ye must needs be in subjection. Ooh, I don't like this one. Wherefore, you have a need to be in subjection. You have a need of that. Not only because of the wrath, but also for conscience sake. Because you know that it's right. And you also know that if you don't, you're going to be, there's going to be wrath come on you. Verse 6. For this cause, you pay tribute also. For they are ministers of God's service. Who are you supposed to pay tribute to? For they are ministers of God's service. Attending continually upon this very thing. All right. Let's say one more thing. Who are ministers of God's service? The ones that attend continually to this very thing. Every time you meet them, every time you talk to them. There may be a little discussion about the weather, but soon we're going to get back to the Word. Because where's their heart? To minister to you continually. It says you must support. If you do not, you are in rebellion. You must support those that teach the Word, the truth. And you must support those that come against wrongdoing. You must support those that stand against wrongdoing. Now, if you think that's easy, why don't you get up here in front and you start telling people when they do wrong and see how much support you get. And you wonder if there's a person in the world that's ever read the Scripture. 7, render to all their dues. Now, listen. Render to all their dues. You give everybody what they have coming. You render to all their dues. You render to God's ministers' dues. But what about false authority? Hey, you render to them their dues also. You look at them and you say, you got 10 seconds to get off of this place. See, Patrick, you got some property now. I don't know if you know that or not, but you got some property. And you're going to have to take care of that property. And when the enemy comes to make her sick, you got to say, you're a false authority, you got 10 seconds to get out of here. You can even use less seconds if you want to. You can say now. Amen? Amen? By the way, you got you as property too. I'm not just trying to make her property. This whole flesh is nothing but, it's a piece of property that belongs to me. This flesh. I must make it serve the spirit man stand. Render all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom to whom custom is due. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything save to love one another. Owe no man anything save to one love. Let's forget about debt for a minute. Let's talk about the ministry of God. Do you know how the best way to show somebody you love them? You honor them. And you trust them. Well, sometimes I don't think you do right. Well, that was an opinion. Where's the honor and the trust? I'll take your opinions with the honor and the trust, but if you don't have any honor and trust, keep your opinions to yourself. I'm not interested. Kind of rough, isn't it? I told you I'm going to get a little straighter as this goes on. I'm going to tell you, there's prosperity and there's authority in the government of God. This is not the first time you've ever heard me talk about this, is it, Patrick? How many years ago? Oh, I think there's more than that. I'll take it 5 or 6 years ago. I'm going to tell you, I've got goosebumps all over me because I know, I'm telling you, I know the authority and power that this body can have if we learn to not only respect authority, but insert authority and assert authority. It's going to be strong. Here's a word to those that think they're the authority. To those that think they can have their own opinion, their own lifestyle, their own way, totally against the Word of God, totally against the authority that God puts in place. John chapter 8. Please turn there. John chapter 8, verse 43 through 47. This is just a really good place to ask this question. Why do you not understand what I am saying? John chapter 8, verse 43 through 47. Say it again. John chapter 8, verse 43. If it's not there, my computer messed up. Is it there, isn't it? Okay. Why do you not understand what I am saying? Is it because you cannot hear my word? By the way, who is speaking this? Okay. You are your father the devil if you don't understand what I'm saying. And you want to do the desires of your father, which is Satan, your flesh. If you don't understand, Jesus said, what I am saying, it's because you are not honoring God as your father, you're honoring your flesh or Satan as your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature. For he is a liar and the father of all lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them because you are not of God. Let's just say what this said. Jesus said, I'm telling you the truth, and if you don't believe it, your father's Satan. And I'm not going to sit here and discuss it with you all day long. You're going to believe the word, or you're not. Woo, that's tough, isn't it? I didn't think Jesus would ever talk like that. Maybe you need to get to know the honest, true, bold Jesus. Truth or, true authority, true government, no options. Ephesians 4. That's my introduction to Ephesians 4. True authority, true government, no options. Ephesians 4, verse 8. I want you to stick with me because I'm going to go through this slowly. Ephesians 4, verse 8. It's not a new one to you, but you may hear some new things today. Ephesians 4, verse 8 through 18. Therefore, who's the government on? Whose shoulders is the government on? Okay, Jesus. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, this is talking about Jesus, he led captivity captive. Y'all believe that? You believe that Jesus' resurrection and ascension and descension and everything he did at the time from crucifixion to resurrection led captivity into captivity? You really believe that? That the one that loves to take people captive is now in captivity? We got to keep him there, right? Okay, here's how. He led captivity captive and he gave gifts to men. Verse 9. Now this, he ascended. What does it mean? But he also first descended in the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. Verse 11. Now this is the word of God. I give you absolutely no right to change it, disbelieve it, or distort it in any way. He gave himself, he himself, the one that led captivity captive, the one that the government's on his shoulders, did this. He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. Here's the reason that he placed these men in a government position: for the equipping of the saints. You take these men out, there will be no equipping of the saints. For the work of the ministry. You take these men out, there will be no work of the ministry. For the edification of the body of Christ. Take them away, there's no edification. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. In my life, and I've got a few years now, it's been a long time since I've really truly seen the equipping of the saints, the work of the ministry, and the edification of the body of Christ. And I will submit to you, it's because we have not honored any form of government at all. In fact, we despise government. How long will they be here? Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. How many of you think the church fits verse 13 today? Well, then let's just tell every religion, denomination, doctrine in the world that says that prophets and apostles passed away with those that saw Jesus Christ to get behind me, Satan. Because Jesus says that I'm going to keep them there until this happens, until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. Why are they here? That we should no longer be children. That tells me if you don't honor the fivefold ministry, government ministry that God puts in effect, that we should be no longer children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning and craftiness of deceitful plotting. Can I tell you the most common deceit, the cunning craftiness and wind of doctrine that we have? My opinion. Not your opinion. I don't have any problem at all resisting your opinion. It's my opinion I have a problem resisting. Every time I get in the Word of God, I have to attack my opinion. Why? Probably because I don't honor government enough. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto Him who is head, the Christ. These governmental offices that are mandatory in the body of Christ will bring us into a position where we learn to speak the truth. Number one, they're going to teach us to speak the truth. Number two, how to do it without murder. Number three, it teaches us to grow up. How many times have you ever wanted to look at me, and I can't tell you how many times I wanted to look at you and say, grow up. Forget us. Let's don't point to each other. How many times you look in the mirror and wish you could say to yourself, grow up? What kind of fit was that? What kind of nonsense just came out of you? Praise God. I promise you that this is coming. It's not bad. It's good. It will bring us, it'll grow us up into Christ Jesus. Verse 16. From Christ Jesus, whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Listen to this. That's a complicated statement. The government being on Jesus' shoulders, the governmental men that He appoints, will cause us to be a whole body. I haven't seen a whole body in all my life. I'm looking forward to seeing it. They'll be joined. And they just won't be joined like some of these weird births that we see. They'll be knitted together. More than that, each one supplies. Are you hearing me? This is what the Scripture says. Each one, because they're growing up, because they're not for their own, because they've torn down their own selfish government and honored the government of God, they fit together and supply each other. Why? For the effective working from sharing. It causes growth of the body. Look at this. For the edifying of itself in love. Did you get that? For the edifying of itself. You're not like this. You're not going around saying, body, you sure are, man, you're so lucky to be you. Woo, man, God blessed you so much. You're so pretty. You're so smart. I wish that stupid preacher was half as smart as I was. Boy, I could set him straight in some scripture, I'll tell you that. If he just listened to me 5 seconds. Can I tell you something? You're out of order. Because God didn't put you in that position. If God puts you in that position, you'll be the first to know. Second thing you'll know is He's going to bring you back down a buttonhole or two so you're not quite so cocky. You know, He's going to teach you real good what this Scripture is trying to say, that Patrick, without you, I suffer. That's what this says. And when you and I and you and I and you and I and you and I are working, we're fitted together, that we're edifying each other in love. I build you up. My presence does not drag you down. It nurtures and feeds. Your presence does not drag me down. It nurtures and feeds. Isn't that what the Scripture says? That's when government's working. Verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind. Did you get that one? Can I tell you something? That when you let your mind tell you what to do, you're walking in futility. Oh, Stan, you're crazy. You can't make that fit. You can't make it work. Oh, yes, I can. I can read you the Scripture and trust that it works. Quit being a child. Your brain wasn't given you. Can I tell you something? God didn't make your brain so you could think about His Word, that you could meditate on His Word, but thinking means a process of, well, maybe, yes, well, maybe it'll work, and where it'll work, maybe it won't work, maybe I need to rewrite that, maybe I can say it a little different. No, no, no. God said it pretty good. Don't think about it. Do it. Let God give you some other challenges to use with your mind. The Word's not a challenge to your mind. It's a challenge to your flesh. Don't walk like the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened. You know what that said? That said the more you use your mind to think about God's Word or challenge God's Word, the darker you're going to be, being alienated from the life of God. Because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their heart. Now, I don't know how honest you can be with yourself. There's two ways to, let's just use this word, think about the Word of God. One is it gets in here and it becomes life to you. The other one is that you analyze it and try to figure out how it can't be for me. It's got to be for the other fella. To me it says this, but to you it says another thing. That makes you ignorant, makes you hard-hearted. Let's keep moving. False authority kills, true authority gives peace. Now here's our problem. Even though we have probably one of the best workings of governments physically in the world, it's taught us to be very afraid and distrustful. Right? Come on. Come on, let's just... When you go down the high... Let me say it this way. Let's just get down to the root of the matter. I don't know if it's still true, but I know about 6 or 7 years ago when the statistics were out, here's what was said, that the average day that goes by, there are 700 new laws that are passed every day. And that's the reason that lawyers do not operate in law. They operate in precedence because they can't keep up with the study of the law. Therefore, let me tell you something. Unlike God's kingdom, our kingdom, the United States, means that you cannot drive down the street from here to your house without breaking at least 5 laws. And I'm not trying to be funny. I'm trying to tell you the truth. It's false authority and it's a lie from hell. So what's your defense? Become stealthy. Trust God to make you invisible when the spotlight's on you. God, I'm going to do my best to be safe. I'm going to do my best to honor what I know to be the law of I'm going to treat others like I want to be treated. But that's as far as I can go. I can't help with the false authority out there. So I want you to protect me from it. And He'll do that. He'll do that. Let's don't be fearful of God's government because man's government is so messed up. God's command is that we honor His government, that is Jesus, and the gifts in the form of men that will rule. You notice I slipped that word in there? I'm not even going to be subtle. I said that Jesus and the gifts in the form of men that will rule for Him, for His kingdom, therefore for His people. Now let me tell you some false teaching right quick. Very, very false anti-Christ teaching. The trouble with American Christians, we ought to write this on a big bumper sticker somehow. The trouble with American Christians is that they think that there is no authority over them except God. And it's a lie from hell, and it'll kill you. It'll strangle you. It'll call you to be stupid and hard-hearted. You know, we walk around in this world today and we don't even believe that about man's government. In our country, we don't even believe that there's only one authority, the president, or one authority, the Congress. We still believe, do you understand that man's authority is still set up on a triune authority? Three branches of government. Y'all forget your government? For our safety and for our protection. Not one, but three. Jesus says, my triune is not going to stop there. I want 5 or more below that. and I'm going to place them there. American Christians think that because they have a direct connection with God, and they do, that they do not have to honor God's men placed over them. You know, I've done more popular teaching. I can see that. We hate the very sound of that phrase, over them. Are y'all just unlike me? I don't like nobody telling me there's somebody over me, but it's the truth. I promise you it's the truth. But these men have been placed to do good. We will not have good until we learn to honor. Now, I'm going to refer a lot to the fivefold gifting or the fivefold ministry that we saw in Ephesians 4. There's five listed there. There'll be some variations of that depending on where you're talking about world government, where you're talking about city government, where you're talking about local government. It'll bend a little bit. But I'm going to show you where the basis of government is. We know it's Jesus, and I'll show you two other. On a word given to me on February the 5th, 1995, here's what God said to me. If you're going to worship me, you're going to worship my government. Are you hearing what I just said? I'm telling you that God told me personally that if you're going to worship me, you're going to worship my government. I'm not going to consider your worship unless you appreciate my government. Let me go back. Where's the government truly lie? On whose shoulders? So if you're worshiping Jesus, you're worshiping government. Right? And you're not going to be able to take the scripture that says, I don't like prophets, apostles, pastors, teachers, evangelists. I'm going to throw that away and I'm going to still worship you, Jesus Christ. You're not going to do that, are you? Can't do it. Can't do it. I read you Isaiah 9. I want you to listen. As far as I'm concerned, if I was going to title this little subsection, it means the proof that there are, let's go on, the proof that there are government, men in government. Mark 13:34. Mark 13:34. It is like a man going to a far country, which left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to each his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Is Jesus still on the earth? Where did he ascend? I don't want to get into that. I'm just telling you that he came and did a work and did exactly Genesis 1:26 again. He took away the dominion from the enemy and he gave it back to his people in the form of governments. I don't care if he went up, down, sideways. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. Remember? Y'all remember that scripture? Seated at the right hand of the Father. Not setting up, standing up, doing all the work. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Who's supposed to be doing the work? We are. All right. He went to a far country, left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. 1 Corinthians 12:28. This is another variation of Ephesians 4. 1 Corinthians 12:28. And God has appointed these in the church. First, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, and variety of tongues. In this scripture, it was even given order. I don't know how much detail I can give to you, but let's go this. Ephesians 4:11. He gave Himself gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. We have the fivefold ministry. I'm going to tell you something. Y'all believe in the triune Godhead? Then I'm going to tell you the Trinity in man form is this. Apostles, prophets, teachers. Well, where's the pastors? Well, they don't exist. Don't worry about them. They don't exist. Don't worry about them. I've come to the conclusion. It's mentioned one time in the entire Bible. The word pastor? One time in the entire Bible. Pastors is mentioned, what, 6, 8 times, whatever it is. And all of it refers back to eldership. Somebody that's caring for you as an elder would care for you. The Word of God is going to be established. Government is going to be established. Peace, security, and safety for the kingdom of God is going to be established through the apostle, the prophet, and the teacher. Let me give you a quick rundown of how this is going to work. The prophet shoots off his mouth. He throws out and spews big chunks of meat. Most of the time we can't handle it. The apostle makes a decision whether it was from God or not. And if it is, then he informs the teachers, and the teachers go out and make it edible for the body of Christ, consumable for the body of Christ. How do the teachers do it? Based on the Word of God. They don't go around quoting what the prophet said. They teach the Word of God according to what the prophet and the apostle said. This is God's will. This is God's plan for man. Now, the hardest part of trying to teach this, are you listening to me? You know what the very hardest part about teaching this is? That it sounds like I'm trying to make room for myself. That's what it sounds like. It sounds very much like you're supposed to bow down and kiss my feet. Well, can I just tell you something? It doesn't make any difference if you do have a governmental position on this earth. There's still one foot you have to kiss. It's Jesus Christ. I don't care if you're the highest authority on the face of this earth. There's still one. And you know who the highest authority on the face of this earth is going to be? The one that's learned to kiss the foot of Jesus Christ the most. Come on, is that scripture or not? How come Jesus was so highly exalted? Huh? You know why? He said, I don't do anything unless God tells me. I don't say anything unless God tells me. He was called the greatest servant of all, so he was the most highly exalted of all. Now, the reason I want you to get this down, the hardest thing I have in my mind to handle with our thought patterns is that Jesus was a sissy, boldest, strongest, hard-headedest, orneriest man I've ever read about in my entire life. But he said, I never do anything unless the Father tells me to do it. Get that picture down. That tells me about the Father. You understanding? By the way, what do fathers father? Like them. Children like them. You can teach grace, you can teach mercy, but if it's not in the context of boldness, you are not teaching the truth. You can teach anything you want to, and it may sound good, but if it's not coming against evil, it's not God's government. Here's more proof. Here's more proof. I'm going to give you these scriptures. I hope you're looking them up, writing them down or something, because these are not easy to find. Acts 16, verse 4 and 5. Every one of these is going to talk about government, how we're supposed to work. While the question's in your mind, are we seeking that government? Yes, we are, with all of our hearts. You may not know it, but we are. This has been burning my life for more than Patrick knows about. I do believe that we're being led in a time and a season, and God's going to accomplish what He set forth in my life. He's going to get me to find the true government. And I'm looking, man, I'm excited, Harry. When I talk about government, nothing excites me more than talking about the power and the authority and the safety that comes when government's proper. There's no weapon in the world that can stand against. The Nehemiah church is my example, or my hero, the picture that I use. You know what Nehemiah established? He established a city where those that are falsely accused can run, and not even the physical government can come in against them. They're protected because of the government of God that's established. Oh, man, what an exciting thought. Let's go on. That's another day. Acts 16, 4 and 5. And as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem. Not by one man, by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem. Ephesians 2, 19 through 22. Ephesians 2, 19 through 22. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Having been built, listen to this, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. How do we want to be a holy temple in the Lord? How are we going to accomplish this? It says right there, on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. How do we do this? We stop listening to ourselves, and we start listening to the Spirit of God. What is the Spirit of God going to say? Listen to that person. Listen to that person. Listen to that person. I don't trust that person. Didn't say that you had to love him. I said, listen. Listen. You ever heard God mandate that to you? I hope so. I have, once again, I don't have to believe everything, in everything, but in the morning, I get up and listen to a number of preachers on Sunday morning because it kind of puts me in a mood. I pick the ones because I don't want to be in a sissy mood. But there's a man on television, starts about 6:30, 7 o'clock, by the name of Earl Polk. Earl Polk, and I really wish you guys would listen to him. Is he charismatic? Barely. Does he sweat and spit? No. No, he doesn't. You know what he does? He just tells the truth. And he just preaches, and he's got a little bit of this and a little bit of that in his heritage. If you listen closely, you can hear this denomination, that. But you know what? He's got a love for God. He's about 70-some-odd. And man, is he a good preacher. He's good. Is that 57? What station is that on? Anybody know? On mine, it's 372, but it's satellite. I think it's TBN, I think. Whatever that is, TBN. Right now he's teaching a series on the ultimate life. The ultimate life. I am drawn to listening to this man. Sometimes I don't agree with what he says, but I am drawn to listening to him. He's on the morning, Sunday mornings. I don't know about every morning. I know Sunday morning he's on, right after the Baptist guy. You really want to challenge, turn about 6:30 or so, turn on that guy and listen to him. He'll preach you a 30-minute sermon in 10 minutes. He just has barely enough time to take a breath. Anyway, that's not the guy I want you. Earl Polk. He calls himself Bishop. Bishop Earl Polk. You know why he calls himself that? Because that's the way eldership is recognized in a true form of church. Not the name of pastor. There's no such name in the Bible for that. It's bishop. It's elder. It's episcopo. It's presbyter. What's a bishop? One that oversees. Ephesians 3, verse 3. We've got to get finished here. Ephesians 3, verse 3. How that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand by the knowledge of the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. You know why you didn't hear about apostles in the Old Testament? They were still a mystery. We called them prophets in the Old Testament, but according to this, they were still a mystery in the Old Testament. They were just men of God chosen to do something. Later, we got apostles and prophets. When? When Jesus did a better thing. Don't listen to the nuts that say they passed away when Jesus passed away. That's not what the Scripture says. They've been revealed. Otherwise, it's a mystery. Revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. By the way, it didn't say the mystery was revealed to everybody. It says it was revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. And the Gentiles shall be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. Do you know why apostles and prophets came? Did y'all ever think about this? Why was apostles and prophets ordained in the New Testament? Think about it. Set up Lord's government, create disciples. Why weren't they in the Old Testament? Because there was a chosen... Huh? There was one government, chosen people. Listen to that man. Remember how that in the Old Testament? It says, you guys, hey, you whole bunch of Israelites, you listen to Moses. You listen to Abraham. Nobody else, just listen to him. He was kind of in the form of a king, kind of the form of a Jesus on earth following people. I mean, people following him. We were freed by Jesus Christ to have direct connections, but it still says apostles, prophets, teachers. And you're not going to be fitly joined unless you recognize them. Now, please, don't. I'm not selling you a prophet or an apostle. God's going to establish that, or it ain't going to get established. That's it. It's up to God. It's not up to me. I'll just teach you the word. It's up to him to deliver on the word. Is that right? If he talks about apostles and prophets, he's got to deliver. Correct? We don't have to hire performers. Luke 11:49. Therefore, the wisdom of God also said, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they will kill and persecute. So if you're looking for the office of the prophet or an apostle, you better read this one again. Therefore, the wisdom of God also said, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they will kill and persecute. Acts 2, Acts chapter 2, verse 39 through 43. For the promise is to you, and the promise is to your children, and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted. He exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Be pulled away from that perverseness that's going on. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Now, you want to know something? We never study what was taught. We just dance and shout because 3,000, you know what they were? They were in one accord. How come they were in one accord? Listen, verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. What brought the fear on souls? The doctrine of the prophets and the apostles, built on our cornerstone, Jesus Christ. Number one, the church will be added to. Number two, doctrine will be taught and understood. See, to me, if I can't tell you anything else, listen to this. If you want to be taught with understanding, you start believing for the prophet, the apostle, and the teacher. Forget about the rest of it for a little season. Just don't seek for the signs and wonders. That'll follow. Don't seek for the praise and worship leader that will just make us crawl on the walls. Seek for the prophet, the apostle, and the teacher. They will teach God's government. They will teach a foundation built on Jesus Christ and his government. And watch things change. I'm telling you guys something. Things have already changed magnificently in my life since I told you that the revelation came about the government being on Jesus' shoulders. I had a revelation about government a long time ago. But this fresh thing is what's got me on fire, is being on his shoulders. This is cool. Listen, you got to understand this. This is a hard thing to figure out, prophet, apostle, and teacher. It's impossible for us to figure it out. It's on Jesus' shoulders. Don't try to figure it out. Put it on his shoulders. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. His burden is easy. It's light. Don't worry about it. Don't work hard trying to figure this out. Wait for that drawing. Go with the drawing, man. And if the drawing... if you think that I just love everything Earl Polk says, you're wrong. There's a lot of times I don't like some of the things I say. I get up here and preach, and God will put something in my spirit, and I'll go home and say, oh, my word, what did I say? Oh, man, now I've got to try to live up to that. God is trying to establish government for our protection, for our covering, not for our burden. All will be added to us when we not only stop fearing and resisting, but when we trust and obey those that have been placed over us. Matthew 11:30. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. If everything that I have said today sounds scary in the thought pattern with this right here, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. God, this seems like a hard thing. Listen what Jesus says. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Man, every time I listen to that crazy Stan, he makes things sound tough. Jesus says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. This just means don't make it complicated. The burden of government is on Jesus' shoulders, not ours. It's not on ours. We just sit back. We can't just sit back and be lazy. We've got to trust and believe, God, I want this. Do you understand? Somebody presented salvation to you one day, and inside of you, you were drawn to that, and you said, God, I want that. I want that. Now I'm presenting something else to you, a government package that's magnificent. Something in you needs to start saying, God, I want that. I want that. Why? Because actually it'll do more for you on this earth than salvation will. It'll do more for you on this earth than salvation will. The rule, our government, will openly stand against evil. It'll openly stand for good. There's not going to be any lukewarm. You're not going to have to guess where an apostle or prophet or teacher stands. He's going to open his mouth up and reveal himself. This is where I stand. This is where God stands, therefore this is where I stand. If you lie to me, your father is Satan. We just read that, remember? If you tell the truth, your father's God. But you don't understand. That person has such a terrific lifestyle. If he lies to you, his father is Satan. If he has any other God before him, his father's Satan. Stand, that sounds so hard. The yoke is easy, and the burden is light. It may sound hard, but here's the truth. It's easy, and it's light. I tell you what, the hardest thing in the world is for you to tell the truth 100% of the time. You know why? Because you don't trust God to do it for you. If the truth is a burden to you, you need to seek God about it. Because He can make it easy. I want to end this by what David said. Remember what David said when the enemy was mocking the people of God? And David got his dander up and he got all excited. And they said, oh, you little fool. You little big mouth outfit. You just all talk and no do. We've been out there. We've been trying to handle this. And we're just about ready to cut and run. You know what David said? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? What difference does it make? David was saying, what difference does it make if he kills me? Don't you understand there's a cause? He's offending my God. He's boldly standing up there and mocking us and mocking our God. And I'll not tolerate this. Well, how many times has the devil done that way with us already in our everyday life? Mocked us and mocked our God. Put thoughts in our mind, even maybe there isn't a God. Well, I'm telling you, I presented you a scripture that says that the government is on the shoulders of Jesus Christ, and that the yoke is easy and the burden is light, and that our covering and our protection, our prosperity and our unity and our expressing love to each other is all bound up in the government of God through Christ Jesus. In the government of Christ Jesus. Not just in Jesus. In the government of Christ Jesus. I want that. Y'all? Y'all want that? You know what you started doing, Patrick? You started trusting in this a number of years ago. I saw, you know, I got a hold of some of your notes. I don't even think you know I got them. They passed me through those notebooks. And I got to reading about some of the notes that he was taking. And you know what it caused in him? This. A wife from God. I don't care how fast. I don't care if it took 5 or 6 or 7 years. What difference does it make? There was a cause. The government of God. The government of God should be expressed in marriage. The government of God should be expressed in church. You want things from God. Worship Him, but worship His government. And say, God, I may not understand all of this. Everybody agree with, we don't understand all of this? I'll agree with that too. In fact, if you want to know the truth, it's a little scary for me to stand up here and say, God, I want your government, because that means that there's somebody over me that I'm going to be under. You understand? It doesn't stop here. I don't know where it stops. I don't think there is a stop. But I want what the Bible says, and I'm coming to this conclusion, we ain't going to get it without His government. Amen? Y'all stand. The first step in the government of God is salvation. If someone's not saved here, then why don't you come forward? Let us pray. If you're not where you ought to be with God, come forward. Let's pray. Don't be bashful. That's part of the authority that's set up. It's the first step in blessings of God. If you're not filled with the Spirit, you need that. I got tickled this morning. I was listening to Earl Park preach, and he said, women, you need to understand something. Men that are filled with the Holy Spirit make better lovers. My kind of guy. 70-some-odd years old. Anyway. He was saying that men that are filled with the Spirit of God, the government of God, don't do things for themselves. They do things for other people. The reason they're better lovers is because they're not for them. They're for the spouse. That's Jesus Christ. That's the leader of this whole thing. You got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Got to? No, it's just the best thing to do. And you've got to submit to the Word of God. Is that easily understood? No, I promise you this. When you say this, you won't know what you're getting yourself into. But get yourself into it. Just submit to the Word. Don't figure out the Word. Don't try to make the Word work. Just say, God, you said the yoke is easy, the burden is light. The government of this thing is on your shoulders. That's me. I sometimes wonder if I haven't been one of the heaviest loads on Jesus' shoulders. Amen? But you know what? It's on His shoulders. He didn't say, I can take it all except stand. Father, we have presented Your Word to Your people. If it sounds like that we've talked down, forgive me, I repent. If we've built up by Your Word, then I thank You that that's been accomplished. Lord, most of all, be it unto me according to Your will. Be it unto me according to Your Word. Not my opinion of it. Praise You, Lord. I want the government of Jesus Christ birthed in me. Do you know that... Let me tell you how this works, okay? God needed government on this earth. So He birthed Jesus Christ. But He did it according to government. Man is the head of the house. That's government. I got a little infuriated about something the other day, and I said something, and I shared this with my wife after I heard it. Do you know why the Holy Spirit picked Mary? Because, see, if He just went to Mary and picked her and drug the man along, that's against His government. That's totally against His established government. I never thought about that before. Do you know why God picked Mary? Because of Joseph. He was the only clown that would believe that word. He was the only guy on the face of the earth that would believe God enough to believe that that was an immaculate conception. So therefore, it left Mary to be used. Mary just woke up pregnant. I mean, that's really hard work. Joseph had to believe. Now we just, you understand? I just had the easy work. I just had the easy work. As God wanted government birthed, I just gave You a word and I want it birthed. I've done the easy part. Now You have to believe. That's the hard part. Father, I ask You to bless them with an exorbitant amount of faith. The amount of faith that it takes to not only just believe pieces of this, but just say, even though I don't understand, be it unto me according to Your will. Be it unto me. Hallelujah. God, I ask for me and I ask for them. Let us be a lighthouse right here on this busy street called Wadsworth that draws all men to You, Your government, Your will, Your way, Your word. Hallelujah. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Let Your word bring forth in us the harvest that You see fit. Bring us back together again to study Your word, to consume Your word, and we'll be safe in You as we learn. We will be safe in You as we learn. Teach us how to deliver the truth without killing. Teach us Your ways. For these things, we ask You and thank You in the name and the government that takes dominion all over all name and government. In Jesus' name, and in everybody that agrees, please say amen.